Good day. This is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, January 12th, 2021. And today, the top story and the commercial news is titled Eagle Eye View, New Property Assessment Images Are Clearer. This story is by Jennifer Bailey. Vermilion County Supervisor of Assessments Matt Long already is impressed at the better image quality he's seeing from images from a flyover for property assessments. According to Long, the company Eagle View has completed about 80% of the new flight. They've been working around the weather and hope to be completed in the next week. We have received some preliminary images, and the resolution in the rural parts of the county are the best we have to date. With the enhanced image quality and the change finder detection program, I'm confident we will be able to pick up homes and other structures we are missing, as well as complete much-needed reassessments in the coming months, Long stated. The Vermilion County Board last month approved flyover expenses of about $372,000, expected to be reimbursed by a CURE, or Coronavirus Urgent Remediation Emergency Program grant. The budget amendment also provided funds for the Change Finder program by Pictometry. The software will allow township and county assessment officials to work from home and comply with state and federal guidelines due to COVID-19 restrictions. That's good for the schools and community college and all the districts throughout the taxing bodies throughout the county, said Vermilion County Board Chairman Larry Bawn. The new flight features 3-inch per pixel resolution, and the Change Finder program will identify those parcels with improvements that have changed in size since the last flight. The clarity of the new imagery will allow the assessors to measure and calculate assessments remotely, according to the budget amendment paperwork. The last flyover occurred in March of 2018. This new flight will give us better resolution in the rural areas of the county and allow assessors to reassess and pick up new structures without physically going out to view the property. This will basically allow them to work from the home or office, and given everything that is going on with COVID, will be good for both the township assessors and the homeowners, according to Long. Eagle View is a technology provider of aerial imagery, data analytics, and geographic information system solutions that is based in Bellevue, Washington, and with operations in Rochester, New York. According to the company, Eagle View combines computer vision technology with imagery that reveals details to help identify insights into any location. Our next story, also from the front page, and also related to improvements, is titled County Improves Sound Video System. And this story is also by Jennifer Bailey. In addition to using local CURE, Coronavirus Urgent Remediation Emergency grant funding for the property assessment flyover, Vermilion County officials also secured funds via the CURE program to cover the costs of a new sound and video system for the county board chambers. New speakers have been installed in the county board chambers, in addition to microphones at the board members, clerks, and state's attorney's seats, as well as a new monitor with a camera, so those in attendance and via Zoom can see and hear each other as clearly as possible, according to Vermilion County Board Chairman Larry Bawn. Concerns had been brought up by residents that they could not hear some county board members or others very clearly, such as through the Zoom online service. It was very echoey in there, Bawn said. In addition to the county board meetings, the chambers also are used twice a month for grand juries. Bawn said it's great to have the nice sound system. The county received about $947,000 through state COVID-19 related funding. Also, in dealing with COVID-19, the county already has had video arraignments in the courthouse with judges not physically there. Bawn stated, too, about security for the Vermilion County Administration Building in light of what happened at the Capitol in Washington, D.C. last week. We feel we have had that already in place. In the administration building, we have cameras on each floor and other security features. Plus, there is a deputy in the building at all times during business hours. The courthouse is just as secure, if not more. Our sheriff's department does an outstanding job in all their endeavors. The county board meets tonight at 6 with in-person and Zoom participation. Agenda items include the following: collection of delinquent taxes, abating annual tax levy, $543,443 at least is estimated in revenue from the 1/4% public safety tax to pay for the bond payment for the public safety building and juvenile detention center improvements. Mental health 708 community board amendment for about $6,000 not spent last year for health first aid training and other support to be budgeted for the new fiscal year. Contributing $10,000 to the land bank. Improvement to Batestown Road utilizing about $150,000 in motor fuel tax funds, and also earmarking $1.5 million in MFT funds for county road maintenance. Our next story is Alderman to Act on West Williams Realignment. Also by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. It's been more than a year since city officials approved an engineering contract for the realignment of West Williams Street to accommodate more traffic with the closure of Logan Avenue due to the Carl at the Riverfront project. Aldermen with the City of Danville Council's Public Services Committee on Tuesday, January 12th, will consider an amendment to the contract for additional costs relating to that project. In November of 2019, Aldermen approved a $252,800 agreement with Clark Dietz for engineering services to realign West William Street from Robinson Street to Logan Avenue. Motor fuel tax funds would be used to pay for the work. Construction was estimated at up to $2.5 million. Changes to the proposed roadway realignment, environmental screening results, and project time frame changes have required additional engineering services that weren't part of the original agreement, according to city officials. The new agreement totals $310,225, with additional funding coming from the city's capital improvements program. The proposed S-shaped curve alignment on Williams between Chandler and Harmon Streets was shifted east of the original concept. West Williams Street is classified as a major collection, with traffic volume estimated at 3,400 vehicles daily. The two T-intersections in the roadway are seen by city officials as detrimental to the movement of large vehicles and passenger cars. Aldermen also will consider approving purchasing property for the realignment project. The city would purchase property at 502 Robinson Street for $7,000 from Willard Cameron Jr., where a house will be demolished, and at 509 West William Street for $1,000 from Paul Baldwin, and exchange of land at 519 West William Street with owner Frederick Newbert for 614 West William Street at the southeast corner of West Williams and Chandler Streets. City officials are in ongoing conversation with Kirchner Building Center at 508 West Williams Street on moving its storage area on the north side of Williams Street east of Harmon Avenue. Nothing has been finalized, according to Danville Assistant City Engineer Eric Childers. A fire-damaged house and garage also would be removed at 513 Harmon Street for the realignment. In other business, the committee will consider authorizing a grant application to the Illinois Department of Transportation Sustained Traffic Enforcement Program, also called STEP, for the police department, a franchise agreement with Comcast, and a budget amendment for Harrison Park Golf Course for credit card fees. The Public Works Committee meets at 6 p.m. January 12th via YouTube live streaming services. Public comments can be submitted by 4:30 p.m. January 12th to cityclerk@cityofdanville.org. Our last item from the front page today is 81st death recorded as virus grips county. And this is a staff report. A woman in her 80s has been reported as the 81st COVID-19 related death in Vermilion County since the pandemic began last March. The death was announced by the health department on Friday evening. Health officials also reported 83 new confirmed cases on Friday. Five residents in their 80s, 8 in their 70s, 13 in their 60s, 10 in their 50s, 13 in their 40s, 13 in their 30s, 7 in their 20s, 5 teens, 7 grade school-age children, 1 preschooler, and 1 toddler. On Sunday, 107 new cases were reported, and those were 4 residents in their 90s, 6 in their 80s, 2 in their 70s, 12 in their 60s, 16 in their 50s, 15 in their 40s, 18 in their 30s, 21 in their 20s, 7 teens, 4 grade school age children, 1 toddler, and 1 infant. The new cases bring the total number in Vermilion County since the pandemic began to 6,583, 595 of which are active. A number of the new cases on Sunday came from the congregate living facility that has experienced a severe outbreak since mid-November. Although the health department does not name specific facilities, the one it refers to is the outbreak at the Danville Correctional Center. Of the new cases, 28 came from the prison. More than half of the inmates at the prison have tested positive for COVID-19. There has been one known death, according to the Illinois Department of Corrections. There are currently 25 COVID-19 positive Vermilion County residents hospitalized. The mobile COVID testing team was in Danville on Monday and will return on Saturday, Monday, and Thursday, January 21st. Health officials report that 320 healthcare workers were vaccinated for the virus last week, and 2 more clinics are scheduled for healthcare workers this week. And now we're going to turn to the obituaries for Tuesday, January 12th. And the first today is for Helen Gosser. Helen Yvonne Price Gosser, age 83, of West Lebanon, Indiana, went to be with the Lord at 7:30 a.m. on Monday, January 11th, 2021 at Williamsport Nursing and Rehabilitation. Visitation will be at Grady Funeral Home in West Lebanon at 110 South High Street on Thursday, January 14th, 2021 from 1 p.m. until service time at 2 p.m. with Pastor Dave Wickens officiating. Interment will follow at West Lebanon Cemetery. Memorial contributions may be made to the Church of the Living Water. Jane White. Jane Ellen White died January 9th, 2021 at her home in Danville, Illinois. In lieu of flowers, she would like donations to be made to St. Jude's Hospital in her name. A visitation will be held from 1 p.m. until 2 p.m. on Thursday, January 14th, 2021, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, Illinois, at 3940 North Vermilion Street. She will be interred at Sunset Memorial Park Mausoleum. Wilmina A. McNeese. Wilmina A. McNeese, 77. Passed away at 11:25 p.m. on Saturday, January 9th, 2021 at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville, Illinois. In lieu of flowers, memorials can be made to the American Diabetes Association. Robison Chapel in Catlin is assisting the family with arrangements. Matthew Neff. Matthew B. Neff, 27, of Danville, passed away suddenly on Sunday, January 3, 2021, at 5:13 a.m. in the emergency room at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana, Illinois. Graveside rites will be held at 2 p.m. Wednesday at the Oak Hill Cemetery in Danville. Mike Strunga will officiate. Robison Chapel in Catlin is handling arrangements. Angela Musgrove. Angela M. Musgrove, 59, of Danville, passed away the early morning of January 7, 2021. A mass of Christian burial will be held on Thursday, January 14th at 10 a.m. at Holy Family Church at 444 East Main Street in Danville, Illinois, with burial at Resurrection Cemetery. Visitation will be at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville on Wednesday, January 13th, from 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. It is asked that those planning to attend wear masks and socially distance themselves from others. Memorials in Angie's name may be sent to the OSF Cancer Center of Danville or Holy Family Parish. Donald St. Pierre. Donald St. Pierre, 95, passed away on Thursday, January 7, 2020, at Garden View Manor in Danville. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville has been entrusted with arrangements. There will be a private family entombment in Sunset Memorial Park. Charles Abbott. Charles Abbott, 67, of Prescott Valley, Arizona, formerly of Champaign, died Friday, January 1, 2021, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Blurton Funeral Home, 400 North Vermilion Street in Potomac. Donald E. Barrell. Donald E. Barrell, 83, of Covington, Indiana, formerly of Ashland, Wisconsin, died at 12:40 a.m. Saturday, January 9th, at Hawthorne Inn in Danville. Due to COVID-19 restrictions, a private family service will be scheduled at a later date. Rortvedt Funeral Services at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton is in charge of the arrangements. Beverly Ann Lacey. Beverly Ann Lacey, 83, of Danville, died at 6:31 p.m. Wednesday, January 6th, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvedt Funeral Services in Tilton. John Lithgow. John P. Lithgow, 86, of Hupston, died at 5:27 p.m. Friday, January 8th, at Accolade Healthcare of Paxton. Military rights will be accorded for the Army veteran by the Hupston American Legion Post 384, Anderson Funeral Home at 427 East Main in Hupston is in charge of arrangements. And that takes us to the end of the obituaries for Tuesday, January 12th. We're going to return to some other stories today from the commercial news. And the first is from the local section called Stock and Field Stores to Close. And this is by Jennifer Bailey. Citing last year's challenges during the coronavirus pandemic, the owners of Stock and Field, formerly Big R Stores, announced Sunday all stores will be closing early this year. Two Stock and Field stores are located in Danville at 3363 North Vermilion Street and Tilton at 1625 Georgetown Road. According to the announcement, after more than 65 years, Stock and Field, formerly known as Big R Stores, is closing its doors at all 25 locations. There have been many challenges in 2020, and Stock and Field was not immune to them. Stock and Field has partnered with providers of new merchandise and will be selling items at massive discounts in the coming weeks. Even, and especially, in a pandemic, we believe the customer should be able to get some wins. We'd like to thank our fantastic employees, our loyal customers, and especially the rural communities we partnered with for so many years. We hope to reopen stores at some point in the future, but for now, please come in, say hello to your favorite employee, and enjoy the ridiculously low prices. This won't last long. Signed, Matthew Webby, Chairman and CEO. The announcement on Stock and Field's website also is linked to a U.S. bankruptcy court case filing for the company in the District of Minnesota. Stock and Field is a farm, home, sporting goods, and outdoor retailer. In a press release from July of 2019, when the Big R stores changed their name to Stock and Field, it was stated the new name allows the brand to send a clear message about their offerings and commitment to providing every rural lifestyle enthusiast with one-stop destination. The retailers operated under the Big R Stores name since 1964, when Bill and Pat Crabtree opened the first store in Watseka, Illinois. Since then, the company grew to 25 locations across Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Wisconsin, and Michigan, including new stores that were to open in Portage, Wisconsin, and Lansing, Michigan. The Stock and Field Lansing store was to mark the company's first expansion into Michigan. This is an exciting time for our employees, vendors, and customers. It is a milestone for the company as we continue to grow, said Webby. At that time, in 2019, this new brand reintroduces us to the communities we've served for decades. At the same time, it aids our expansion into new markets, where we intend to continue building new community partnerships while offering quality products at competitive prices. Stock and Field rolled out new logos, signage, and marketing communications, and a full transition was made to the new brand. And we're going to take a break and go over to the News Gazette for a story from the Top of the Morning column by Jim Russow. Its doors closed due to pandemic restrictions. Danville's historic Fisher Theater still is providing community entertainment while raising money to pay bills. Since December, the Fisher has been renting its marquee to share congratulatory messages of all kinds: anniversaries, birthdays, retirements, Merry Christmas, and just this weekend, birth announcements. The idea was hatched and carried out by Executive Director Jason Rome and Operations Director Ashton Greer. We've always had people asking us, can I rent it? But most of the time we were marketing something of our own, Greer said. We saw this as an opportunity because we're not using the marquee because we're not open. Prices range from $100 for a one-day message on both sides of the marquee to $500 for a week-long message on both sides. It's helping pay our electric bill, said Greer, noting other entertainment venues, such as Hupston's Lorraine Theater, are doing the same thing during these downtimes. The marquee, which stands out in a high-traffic area on North Vermilion Street, is for rent at least through January. Reach out to Greer at ashton@fishertheater.com or at 217-474-2978 if interested. The response has been wonderful, Greer said. People call us and tell us, that message made my day. And from the local section in the commercial news, we have a story from Capital News Illinois titled, Madigan Suspends Speaker Campaign. This is not a withdrawal. This story is by Jerry Nowicki. Springfield. House Speaker Michael Madigan announced he would suspend his campaign for House Speaker of the 102nd General Assembly on Monday, but his statement made clear he was not withdrawing from the race. "This is not a withdrawal. I have suspended my campaign for Speaker," Madigan said in a statement released by his office Monday morning. "As I have said many times in the past, I have always put the best interest of the House, Democratic Caucus, and our members first. The House Democratic Caucus can work to find someone other than me to get 60 votes for Speaker." The last sentence of the brief statement is indicative of the uphill battle Madigan's challengers will have to climb. They will need 60 votes, or 42 more than any challenger appeared to have Sunday night. The House Speaker is chosen by House members and can receive both Republican and Democratic votes. There are 73 Democrats and 45 Republicans who will be seated in the 102nd General Assembly. Traditionally, however, a majority party speaker receives votes from members of their own party. In the first closed-door unofficial ballot conducted between Democrats in a private room at the Bank of Springfield Center on Sunday night, Madigan received 51 votes, according to several reports confirmed by Capital News Illinois. The Speaker also has the endorsement of the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus and Illinois Legislative Latino Caucus, two key voting blocs that make up the majority of his support. Although some individual members of those caucuses have said they would not vote for Madigan. The second leading vote-getter in the closed-door meeting was Representative Ann Williams, Democrat from Chicago, who had just 18 votes. Representative Stephanie Keofit from Oswego had 3 votes. Representative Kathleen Willis, Democrat from Addison, dropped out of the race before the vote, giving her support to Williams. The official vote does not happen until Wednesday, when the 102nd General Assembly is scheduled to convene, seating new and re-elected members. Until then, lawmakers are set to consider a flurry of transformative legislation backed by the Black Caucus during the final 2 days of the 101st General Assembly, measures that have also received Madigan's blessing. Over the first 3 days of session, the discussions of who will be the next speaker have punctuated long days of policy-oriented discussion. Capital News Illinois was awaiting callbacks from several lawmakers Monday afternoon to discuss the impact of Madigan's announcement, but committee hearings were ongoing at the Bank of Springfield Center, which is hosting the House session amid the pandemic. A House source said there would likely be another vote for Speaker on Monday evening. Next up, we have another staff report. City to close Jefferson Street. The City of Danville would like to announce starting Wednesday, January 13, 2021, the complete closure of Jefferson Street between Bridge and First Streets. The closure is for storm sewer improvement on Jefferson Street, and construction will take approximately 2 days, weather permitting. During the closure, access will be to adjacent residential drives only. Motorists should use caution around the work zone and follow detour signage. For more information, please contact Eric Childers, Assistant City Engineer, at 217-431-2259. And finally, from the Community Briefs section, in Danville, happy birthday, Ruby Meeker. Ruby Meeker is turning 107. Liberty Village is set to host a card shower for her on noon, Monday, January 25th, 2021. Please join in honoring and celebrating this milestone for Ruby. The address to mail birthday cards to is Ruby Meeker, Hawthorne Inn, Room 610, Danville, Illinois, 61832. And also, we have a note here that there has been a canceled meeting. There were no agenda items received for the Historic Preservation Commission. The Thursday, January 14, 2021 meeting has been canceled. And that takes us to the end of our time for today, Tuesday, January 12, 2021. My name is Greg. It's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope you have a great day. Take care.